people to email me and call me and just bump into me, and they say, "Pastor Rocky, I miss it when you don't use your stool." That stool is something that I use when, if I have a message that is associated more with teaching than preaching, I usually sit down, just kind of back and forth there. If God has given me something that I'm going to preach, the stool doesn't usually come out. This morning, my stool's out. If you go back into God's Word and you read through it, you can see where God has given to us a multitude of laws to live by. All the way back through the Old Testament, the New Testament. I mean, God's Word is filled with laws that we are supposed to live by. Now, some of those laws are no longer in effect simply because they were fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross. But others of those laws, man, they'll last forever. They will be there forever. If you look back into the Old Testament, you can see where God gave us some ceremonial laws to help us point the way to Jesus. Back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, one of these laws was spelled out for us when God said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them," He said, "when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock." He said, "If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. He is to lay his hands on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf," listen to him, "to make atonement for his sin." That animal was going to be sacrificed as an atonement for sin. See, the purpose of that ceremonial law was to help us understand that when we did something that sinned against God, guys, it was going to cost you something. If you were going to get back into God's graces again, it was going to cost you something. And so God said the most important thing that they had back in that day was their bulls and their cows and their flocks and all of these things that they had. So God said, "If you sin against me, I want you to go into your flock or your herd, and I want you to pick out one of the best animals that you have without defect, and I want you to bring it to the tabernacle, to the tent up here, and we're going to sacrifice it. It's going to cost you something if you want to get back into God's graces." By teaching us this, God eventually led us to that place where we could accept what Jesus did for us as an atonement for our sin. It was these civil laws that God put in place way back in the early part of the Old Testament. It was those laws that led us to where we could accept Jesus' death on that cross. It was what paved the way for our salvation. Those were the ceremonial laws. Now, God also put in place what we call civil laws. And many of these laws, they're still in place today. And back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, I'm going to bounce through some verses here. In verse 14, here's one of the civil laws. God said, "Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother, Israelite, or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset because he is poor and he's counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you and you will be guilty of sin." God also said in verse 17, he said, "Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge." He said in verse 19, he said, "When you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheep," he said, "don't go back and get it." He said, "Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Verse 20, when you beat the olives from your trees, he said, "Do not go over the branches a second time." He said, leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. And then there in verse 21, he said, and when you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. He said, leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widows. You see, God put these civil laws in place to help us understand that we are supposed to take care of each other, guys. This is how God paved the way to help us understand the importance of loving each other and taking care of each other and supplying for each other when one has plenty and somebody else doesn't have any. God put these civil laws in place to teach us as we were growing and as we were coming up in Him that we are supposed to love one another, man, and we're supposed to take care of one another. There's also another set of laws that God gave to us that reflect His character. And this is what I want to talk to you about today, but they reflect His character. And these laws, they're referred to as God's moral laws. And these laws, they will be in effect forever because they show us how God wants us to live our life. One of the best examples of these moral laws is the Ten Commandments. If you go back in the book of Exodus, God's word says, you know, you don't murder, you don't covet, you don't steal. You know, these laws reflect God's morals. And there's something very important that you need to understand about these moral laws that God given to us. God did not give them to you and to me based on who we are, where we live, or what part of the church we serve in, or what political standing we have outside of the church. When God laid His moral laws down, God laid them out across the board to every one of us equally. God's moral laws apply to every one of us because they reflect God's moral character. Listen to me. What God expects of you, He expects of me. That's the bottom line. What God says is right for you is right for me. And if God says something is wrong for you, then that is also wrong for me. You see, the principle here is called absolute truth. And this principle is based on the fact that what God expects from one, God expects from all. No one is exempt because God does not pick and choose. Listen to me. God does not say that it's okay for some of us to live our life this way and others of us to live our life this way simply because of how we were raised. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? God lays out these moral laws across the board and He says every one of us, all of us are to live by them equally, because we are all His children. And God, listen to me, He doesn't love me more than He loves you simply because He called me to be a pastor. God loves us all the same. He sees us all the same, and therefore His commands were put in place for us all the same. Let me give you some examples. God said stealing is wrong. It's wrong. He has placed that on your heart. Now, when we are children and we have that natural sin of Adam in our heart when we are birthed, stealing is something that is natural within us. If you don't believe that, go into the nursery or into the toddler's room back there and watch those kids. I promise you, one kid will be playing with a toy and another kid will reach over there and snatch it out from under him, and you'll walk up and say, did you take his toy? And they'll go, huh? And they've got it right here in their hand. We didn't teach that two-year-old lie. It's a natural sin that we have within us as we are born and as we begin to grow. But God said it's wrong. God said stealing is wrong. And let me tell you something. It's not based on your circumstances. Stealing is wrong. He sees us all the same, and therefore it's not based on whether or not you have food in your house. Is it okay to go steal some? Stealing is wrong. It's an absolute truth. It's a moral truth across the board that stealing is wrong. Lying, listen to me, is wrong. And God didn't give us any loophole to get out of that just because we got ourselves into a bad situation and we need to get out of it. God said lying is wrong. It is a moral truth. It is an absolute truth. And it is not based upon our circumstances. Cheating is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Pornography is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Abortion is wrong. And we do not have the right to say that it applies to some of us and not to other of us simply because of our circumstances. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? These are what God said. This principle that God teaches us in His Word is called absolute truth. Absolute truth. And it is based upon the fact that God's truth is applied across the board to all people, regardless of who we are and regardless of where we live. I found an article that I thought was cute because it tells us of how children believe in certain truths when it comes to various subjects or various topics. Here's a child's view of truth. No matter how hard you try, you can't bab-tap. Try it if you don't think they're right. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. That's a child's thoughts about truth. If your sister hits you, don't hit her back because they always catch the second person. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. These are what kids say. Never wear polka dot underwear under white shorts. And I love this one. You can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. You see, there are certain things that children believe are absolute. I say this because of some of these things that we've just read, but, you know, adults, on the other hand, they seem to have a different opinion as to whether or not absolute truth really exists. For the first time in history, I want you guys to hear me. For the first time in the history of our nation, we are living in a society that is rejecting God's absolute moral truth. Do you know that? We are the church. And we are seeing it all around us, guys. The world is filled with people that are rejecting the fact that we live under God's moral truths. Some of the statistics that we have, look at this. In 1962, a George Gallup poll revealed that 84% of all American adults believed in the existence of absolute truth. 84% of the American adults believe that if it was right for you, it's right for me. And if it's wrong for you, if God thinks it's wrong for you, it's also wrong for me. 84% in 1962 believed that. In 1997, 35 years later, 50% of the Christians and 25% of the non-Christians, a total of 75%, said that there are moral truths which are unchanging and that absolute truth is not relative to the circumstances. So it dropped from 84% in 35 years, it dropped from 84% to 75%. But in the year 2000, just 3 years later, a George Barna research poll showed that only 38% of the adult Americans believe that absolute truth exists. That God's morals are in place for all of us. It went from 75% to 38%. Now watch this. In 2001, 1 year later, another George Barna poll showed that the numbers had dropped again, almost in half, to 22%. So basically what happened is over a period of 39 years, guys, listen to me. Over a period of 39 years, from 1962 to 2001, our nation changed. It has gone from 84% of the people believing that God's moral laws are absolute down to 22%. 62% of the people in this country changed their mind about God's moral laws applying to them. 62% of the people in this country are changing everything. It doesn't matter what you say to them. It doesn't matter how many times you preach to them. It don't matter how many preachers is on the TV. You can talk about God's word until you're blue in the face. And 62% of those people still went backwards and said God's word is not applicable to their life simply because it's applicable to somebody else's. 62% over a period of 39 years. And now here comes the real kicker. George Barna went on to say that only 9% of our born-again teenagers believe that absolute moral truth is in effect today. 9% of our teenagers believe that. 9%. And you know what this says to us? It says that our next generation is going to take another drop from 22% down to 9%. Is God's word, is the revelation of God coming true or what? God's word says these things will begin to take place, that there will be a great apostasy, a great falling away before Jesus comes back. And everything that God's word prophesies is happening in this world that we live in. Absolute truth is falling right out underneath us, and we're standing by watching it go, wow, would you look at that? Somebody ought to do something about that. Somebody ought to do something about that. 9% of our teenagers, our born-again Christian teenagers, believe that absolute truth applies to their life. I want to tell you something. If there's no such thing as absolute truth, then the Bible has misled all of us, because it teaches that God's truth is not relative to our circumstances. And if it's not true, if it's not real, then God's word has misled all of us. Because God's word says, man, if it's right for me, it's right for you. And if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. And there is no in-between there. God didn't tell me that I got to be honest because I'm a pastor and tell you that it's okay for you to lie because you get yourself in a circumstance and you need to get out of it. God didn't say, Rocky, you can't steal because you're a preacher, but it's okay for them because there's no food in their house. God's word is not relative to our circumstances. It's not that truth. But let me tell you something. That's not what this generation is teaching anymore. That's not where we are anymore. That's not what we're teaching our next generation of children that are coming up behind us. I want you guys to hear me this morning. Our convictions, look up here. Look at me. Our convictions are slowly being replaced by a political correctness. And the word today is not truth. It's tolerance. That's the word of today. Tolerance is being taught from first grade classrooms all the way into to the college classrooms. It's all about tolerance. You see, heterosexuals, we're supposed to be tolerant of homosexuality. They're teaching it. Pro-lifers, we're supposed to be tolerant of abortion just because somebody got out there and made a mistake. And we're supposed to be tolerant. And Christians, you see us, we're supposed to be tolerant of immorality and sin because that's just how they were raised and they don't know better yet. And if we're not tolerant, if we step up and step up to the plate and do what we're supposed to do, we're called intolerant. We're looked at and we're called those Christians. Those people. If we stand up and do what God's word tells us to do, That's who we become. We become those people. Let me tell you something. When God created this world, God put a lot of things in place that are absolute. Hear me. Things that when he created them, there was no room for tolerance. Do you know that water is made of two parts hydrogen and one part oxygen, and if you deviate that from that at all, in the slightest amount, you won't have water. Do you know why? Because that formula is absolute. Do you know that gravity is absolute? I promise you, if you jump off your house, you're going to hit the ground. And there is no tolerance there. God put it in place that it is absolute. In mathematics, 2 plus 2 is 4. And if you deviate from that in any form or fashion, taking away, adding to, I don't care how minute that amount is. It can be a 0.99999 for eternity. And you add those two together and you still don't have 4. Because it's absolute. 2 plus 2 is 4. It's an absolute in mathematics. Well, let me ask you something, church. If all of these things prove that absolute truth exists, why not when it comes to things like morality and righteousness and holiness and decency? Why is it that we're being taught and told that there is no absolute truth in these things, but that we have to be tolerant? Why is it that we allow these things to come into our life and into our children's lives when God's Word proves to us that truth is absolute? Let me tell you something. When it comes to salvation and heaven and hell and lying and cheating, when it comes to things like stealing and homosexuality and abortion and pornography and the addictions out there and obscenities and the things between right and wrong, the Christian's word should not be tolerance. It should be truth. We are to stand up for the truth. And why is this so important to us? Why is it so important that we stand up for what God's Word has taught us? I want you to hear me this morning. You see, it's important because this truth right here, this is the only real standard that we have to guide us. This truth right here, this is the only real hope that you have. Without the truth of God, without that standard, without believing what God said is true for all of us, without that in our life, we have no hope. God's truth, this standard right here, listen to me. This is the only real truth, the only standard that you have for a successful marriage. You can't have a successful marriage outside of this truth. It has to be built right here. This truth is what we raise our children on. And without that truth, our children won't go into a classroom and understand the difference between truth and tolerance. And if we're not willing to step up and teach them the Word of God and the truth of God and to help them understand who they are and where they stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody in the classroom will teach them different. Somebody's going to help them understand that we are supposed to be tolerant because they're different. Somebody will teach them something. We've got a whole world out there that has declined and went from 85% down to 22% over the past 39 years. And they're targeting somebody. They're targeting somebody. This truth right here, this is the only real standard that we have to build the church on. And it's the only thing in this world, I want you to hear me, that can set you free. Do you know that? It's the only thing in this world that can set you free. That's the truth of God. Jesus said in John, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What Jesus was saying to us is there is no other standard. That's it. That's the bottom line. There is no other standard. Now, I don't know what you believe. I don't know where you fall into that 85%. I don't know how you're living. I don't know how you've been living your life. But listen to me. But you know, and God knows. We all understand where we are, and we all understand where we fall short. So the question of the morning is simply this. Are you living your life, building your marriage, raising your children by God's truth? Are you teaching them? Are you really teaching them? Or are you depending on someone else to do that? Husbands, are you teaching your wives? Moms, are you helping to teach the children? Or are we turning it over to someone else and allowing them to be taught the truth of tolerance? We're just supposed to be tolerant. I want to say this to you. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior because you feel like you're a good person, I'm a good person. And I'm good. I'm right where I am. You have become tolerant. Bottom line, you have become tolerant. And I want to tell you something. Jesus cannot lift you up out of that hell that you're living in until you accept the fact that you have become tolerant and then accept that truth that he's the only one that can save you. That's bottom line. Let me tell you something else. If you are bound by Satan, if you go through God's Word, go into the New Testament there. There's several passages where he talks about how Satan has bound us. He talks about the one woman who was bound for 18 years and had to walk around with her head down on the ground because he said Satan wouldn't even let her lift her head up. The Word of God talks about Christians being bound by Satan. That includes those, the things that he's talking about are the addictions that we get caught up in, the depressions, the oppressions that we get caught up in. All of these things, if you are bound and you do not believe that you are bound, you have become tolerant. And Jesus cannot lift you up out of that garbage until you stop being tolerant and accept the truth about yourself. That's the bottom line. You see, God's truth is the only thing that can guide us through this mess of a world that we live in and set us free. He's the only hope that we have. It's the only truth that we have. Is your marriage in trouble? Children? I want to tell you something. You can fix everything that has been wrong by bringing it to the feet of Jesus and allowing Him to lift you up out of all that garbage. If you'll just accept where you are, who you are, and what's going on in your life, God's promise to you is that He will make all things new. Stand up for Him. I want to say this to you. Over the past couple of weeks, the Lord has laid some messages on my heart that I've struggled with preaching because, I don't know, I just felt like it wasn't the right time and I would put it back. This particular message has been put back for probably 4 weeks. But earlier this week, the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, Rocky, you need to tell them this now. He said, the time is now. Just like what He did the other day when He took the message away and I just opened my Bible and began to preach and the altars went three deep. And then 3 weeks later, He lets me preach the message I was supposed to preach then. That was last week. I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls I've got. Pastor Rocky, that message on forgiveness was one of the most awesome things that I've heard and that we've needed. Well, God did that with this message right here. And He's saying to you, you don't have to live in a tolerant world. Well, you have to live in it, but you don't have to be a part of it. And if you have become a part of it, and your world is falling apart because of your tolerance, bring it to the cross, man. Bring it to the cross. Bend the knee before the Creator of the world and say, Lord, I just need you to lift me up and help me get strong here. And His promise to you is He's not going to leave you there. He said, I'll be with you forever, even to the end of the age. So, I've done my part. Jake has done his part. The rest of this service is up to you. If there's something in your life you need to turn over to the Lord, man, bring it. Maybe you need to pray for your children. Maybe you need to pray for your marriage. Maybe you need to pray for something else that's going on in your life that you've allowed to happen that God says is all wrong, man. I don't know. All I know is this message came out 4 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, this week, He said, now's the time. So there's obviously people here that needs to hear it. Father, I've done all I can do. I've preached Your word about the truth. I've showed them the statistics, Lord. And God, I've tried to help them understand that there's a truth that we have to set as our standard, or God, we can't live right. I pray that the Spirit of God would move upon the hearts of those who need to be moved upon, that they might come to an altar and pray in Jesus' name.